Our text this morning is Habakkuk chapter 3. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on my high hills. And these are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed in Christ, Habakkuk, a small three-chapter book, is probably best known for the quotation of one verse by St. Paul in the book of Romans, "The just shall live by faith." That short quotation serves as the theme for the Holy Spirit's teaching on the righteousness of faith, faith which receives the very righteousness, goodness, perfection of God by trusting the saving work of Jesus Christ. Habakkuk is about trusting God. It's about faith. It's about faith when human effort, human wisdom, human strength all fail. It is faith in God when all around you sights and sounds of destruction and suffering dominate and cause doubt. The prophet begins his book with the big question, why? Why is this happening? And here's how he put it. O Lord, how long shall I cry and you will not hear? Even cry out to you violence and you will not save. Why do you show me iniquity and cause me to see trouble? For plundering and violence are before me. There is strife and contention arises. Therefore the law is powerless, and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous, therefore perverse judgment proceeds. Where is God's judgment in a world of violence? Why do iniquity and trouble fill my eyes? Why do the wicked keep winning, and justice fails again and again? There's good reason for Habakkuk to be considered the prophetic version of the book of Job and to be titled by one commentator, "The Eternal Why." Habakkuk lived during the time when the small kingdom of Judah was being used like a ping-pong ball between Assyria and Egypt and Babylonia. Each of them dominated Judah in turn. But Judah is the people of the promises of God, the promises that point to Jesus, the Messiah, the Savior. And yet the faithful only see trouble. Their faithful and pious great king Josiah had recently been killed in battle just before Habakkuk wrote these words. And now they have King Jehoiakim, who in stark contrast to his father, filled Jerusalem with innocent blood. Habakkuk the prophet sees the international disasters upending Judah. He sees the national disasters as a faithless king rules them. And he sees the apostasy of the people of Judah as they race from God's promises and seek help in the gods and goddesses of other nations. Is it any wonder then that he says, "How long shall I cry, Lord, and you will not hear?" Now, as we move toward our text, which is at the end of the book of Habakkuk, we are given the resolution of the how long question, but it's a resolution that seems very disappointing. Habakkuk describes one more onslaught here of bad things that he can see happening in Judah. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold and there be no herd in the stalls. In other words, the promised land flowing with milk and honey appears barren. The rich promises of God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they're turning to dust. Where is God in all of that? Well, first, let us hear the note of lamentation voiced by Habakkuk. His how long, O Lord? His why? His observation and subsequent sorrow over the tragedies that face him and the people of God. This is worth our hearing. Trials are not strangers in our lives, but we are generally not taught to lament them, as did Habakkuk, and to cry out, how long and why? We don't voice them as Habakkuk did, but we should. Or maybe better, we should not be afraid to. The lament of Habakkuk, the prayer of the sorrowful with the why questions to God, these are part of the life of the faithful, something that we grow in voicing. The words of lament are not words which drive us from God. They push us to trust more, to learn how experience and faith are not so divorced as we imagine. In fact, they force us to see God in suffering here with us, in the very depths of our sorrow, in the middle of our questions. Now, where do we find this? Or in whom do we find this? We'll start with Psalm 22. It begins with words familiar to many of us, though first written almost 1,000 years before their most famous speaking occurred. My God, why do you forsake me? This is the prayer of Jesus, the Son of God on the cross. There you see suffering, the suffering of us all, with Jesus himself feeling more deeply than we can imagine what it means to be forsaken, abandoned, all alone. Yet Jesus does not end his life on the cross with that note of lamentation. In that great Psalm 22, we hear not only sorrow, we hear the confidence of faith. You have rescued me. Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. And 3 days later, the morning of Easter, he is not here. He is risen. Habakkuk anticipates this divine victory even while going through times of deep agony and distress. What does he conclude? Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. You cannot describe that to an unbeliever because it makes no sense. It is foolishness. For many of us, even who are believers, in times of grief and burdens that crush us, Habakkuk's words are hard. But they're received only through faith in Jesus Christ, who took on our flesh and blood, who took on our suffering, literally enduring it and all our sin and death, and came through it for us and for our salvation. But even with this, a bold trust is something into which we keep growing. We do not get to confident faith immediately in our struggles. If we expect to do so, then we will be wondering whether or not we even have faith. We don't do ourselves any favors, nor do we do anyone else any favors by demanding or trying to coerce a stronger faith in times of suffering. Let lament be voiced. But keep going to the cross with Jesus crucified for you. Keep hearing and receiving Jesus. Habakkuk, like all the faithful, finds comfort in the strength of his Lord. His promises do not fail, even when everything else is falling apart. We live in the now, and we await the not yet. And that is the tension in our lives. That is why we have the Word of God given to us. That is why God's promises are poured out on us, proclaimed to us. Christ lives, and your sin is dead. Job confessed, I know that my Redeemer lives. Habakkuk confessed, the Lord God is my strength. We hear them, and by faith we receive from the very same Redeemer, the blessings of forgiveness of our sin, our life, and our eternal salvation. Your strength and salvation is none other than the one who has suffered for you, Jesus Christ. Believe him, for he is here for you always. Amen. And you may rise. And we pray, why should cross and trial grieve me? Christ is near with his cheer, and never will he leave me. Who can rob me of the heaven that God's Son for my own to my faith hath given? In suffering be thy love my peace, in weakness be thy love my power. And when the storms of life shall cease, O Jesus, in that final hour, be thou my rod and staff and guide, and draw me safely to thy side. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.